Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I have to tell you, I am so pleased to be with all of you here this morning, a beautiful Savior. Early last year, right about this time, maybe a little sooner than that, very shortly after my wife Maria and I were welcomed into membership here at Beautiful Savior, I was given a three-month assignment by our bishop to serve a short-term interim down at Abounding Grace Lutheran Church on the opposite corner of Tucson in order to assist them in closing the doors of that congregation. I had a couple weeks off after that, and then right on the heels, I came back up to this side of town to begin filling in for Pastor Lars Hammer over at Lord of Grace while he went on his sabbatical. At the same time, I was also pulled out of retirement and onto the Synod staff, where for I think about 8 months now, as Pastor David mentioned, I have now been serving as your DEM, your interim DEM. I had to put in that interim part because I'm only currently unretired, shall I say. But I'm delighted to be among you. And in fact, I bring to you this morning both the prayers and the greetings of Bishop Deborah and of all the Synod staff. We value Beautiful Savior's partnership in the gospel. We give thanks for your all's generosity, for your support, and we are equally thankful for the important work, really the vital ministry that you do here at Beautiful Savior and in Tucson and even well far beyond, because what you all are doing matters. And the difference you make is immeasurable. So thank you. Together, we are all part of really a much larger and amazing vision that God has for us and for all the world, which God so loves. And as Pastor David mentioned, there will be no jokes. Truth be told, I only have half the wit that he does. Enough. Would you pray with me? God of our ancestors, your son Jesus shone in glory on the mountain of transfiguration. We pray for that same vision in our lives. To be able to see beyond the mere surface of things and to enable us to shine also for you. Amen. I am convinced, I'm sure of it, that all of you have known people who simply shine. They can't help themselves. And sometimes they are those folks who are always involved, always active, always positive. Other times, you see it in rather peaceful and quiet people. People of inner strength. People who don't always say very much, but when they do, you pay attention. And yet either way or either type, these folks are just plain radiant. And I often think of such people whenever we hear the story of Jesus' transfiguration, where he takes his three closest disciples, Peter and James and John, and heads up the mountain to pray. And while up there, his face is transfigured and his appearance becomes changed, and he seems to shine with the very fire of God. You've seen people's faces shine like that, yes? I'm sure of it. And yet it seems that the one thing that causes our faces to shine the most is whenever we manage to address those things in our lives that actually have a way of blocking the light. I mean, think about just how many times Jesus in our gospel teaches us to set those sorts of things aside and to take up our own cross and to place our feet right into his own footsteps. And it's really quite amazing, if you ask me, that whenever you and I can put away our own agendas and whenever we can let go of that crazy nagging need inside of us to want to simply focus on ourselves, that's when the light shines through. Yes? But here's the other odd part of it all as well. And tell me if you've not noticed it for yourself. It is not in those neatly organized, well-controlled, perfect parts of our lives where God tends to show up. But more often, it is through those cracks and through all those empty and broken places. Those places where not only do we really have to learn how to lean deeply into God, but also how to lean more onto each other as well. That's when the light actually finds the opening, right? That's when the light usually breaks through. In just a few days, as you saw in the announcements, you and I and people all across the globe, we will once again embark upon yet another year's Lenten pilgrimage. And we will travel alongside Jesus as he climbs down from this morning's mountaintop and as he heads toward Jerusalem and toward all that awaits him there. And one of the reasons why we as the church are always so intentional about following Jesus on his way toward the cross is so that we ourselves might better recognize and even name all those fragile and hurting places, both in our lives and in our world. But do you know? The better that we can learn to recognize and even name where we struggle, how we struggle, or just where we often become just plain stuck, the better we can also learn to give all those facets of who we are, to offer them all up to God. And the better hope we also have of becoming healed and finding peace and experiencing even just a bit more wholeness. But before Wednesday comes, I would like to talk with you all about something. Because we often speak of giving up something for Lent, and you know, all too often we usually choose something pretty token. I mean, it's rather easy, really, to to give up something like chocolate or ice cream. At least for me, maybe you have a greater affinity toward those things. But when we give up something that's easy, what do we really gain? How do we even grow in our own becoming more like Jesus if all we offer are token sacrifices? Or to put it into this morning's language, how can we even have a mountaintop experience if we don't first put in the effort of climbing the mountain in the first place? And how can the transfigured Christ then ever really shine through us? I am not your pastor. You are already blessed with a very fine and capable one. I'm just a guest preacher for today. But still, can I suggest that whatever you decide to do during Lent, or whatever you choose to give up, make it meaningful. Do something that will ultimately, easy for me to say, do something that will ultimately strengthen you to more fully love and serve God and to more fully love and abundantly serve your neighbor. And ask yourself, what is the purpose of me doing this or that? Ask yourself, how can my doing this allow me to also take up something else? Something that can actually build and stretch and deepen my relationship with God and with the people around me and even the whole wide world that circles me. So, give up chocolate if that's your thing. But give up chocolate that is made on the backs of the working poor. Give up chocolate that forces children into harmful working conditions. Give up the big name chocolates. But in their place, take up fair trade chocolate. Or dare I say, give up Facebook. I usually hear gasps whenever I suggest that. Or other sorts of social media. And in their place, take up a pen and a piece of paper and an envelope and a stamp and write a note to a teacher or to a friend or to a loved one or someone who is sick or someone lonely. Or give up TV. And in its place, take up conversations, take up building stronger relationships. Take up the Bible, spend this Lenten season reading half page by half page through the Gospel of Mark, which is the lectionary focus here in year B, or if you're feeling adventurous, the Gospel of John. Or even take up a new form of prayer. You know, many, many years ago, I was still the pastor down at, find my directions here, down at Santa Cruz on the southwest corner of Tucson. And at one point in my career, even as a parish pastor, the bulk of my own prayer life had kind of been whittled down to the 20 minutes of driving from home in the morning down to the church. I wouldn't recommend closing your eyes when you pray in that fashion. And would you believe, I'm telling you the truth, 1 year for Lent, I gave up the newspaper subscription. I canceled it. And the 20 or 30 minutes that I would use up in the morning going through the newspaper, I added that to my prayer time first thing in the morning instead. And that was many, many years ago, and you know, I've not resubscribed to that paper since. But whatever you do, Know that there are literally millions and millions of other Christians all around the world who are also intentionally journeying through this year's Lenten season as well. And who, just like you, actually have the benefit of centuries upon centuries of practice. And who, in a very real way, will be walking through Lent with you. But again, whatever you choose to give up in order to then take up something better, let it be genuine, let it be real, let it be that space and opportunity for you to be able to hear God whispering to your heart all over again. And speaking to you with that same voice that has been calling and gathering and guiding God's people to new directions of life and new depths of discipleship ever since the very beginning. Because if you ask me, as they were coming down that mountain, and even as Jesus orders Peter and James and John not to tell anyone until after he is raised from the dead about the sneak peek glimpse of Easter resurrection that they had just seen and experienced for themselves, I cannot help but wonder if they didn't come down that mountain with their faces shining as well. As you and I in just a few days step down ourselves into the valley of Lent, can we allow it to once again provide us that opportunity to resume our own journey toward the cross and to set down some things in order to pick up other things? And to offer all the cracked and broken pieces of who we are into God's good hands and over into God's transforming power. So that we too can more fully soak up the light of Christ. And so that it might also shine that much more fully through us as well. Blessings upon your Lenten journeys. May Christ be your compass and strength. Amen.